Hour number two of B. Mitch and Finley. JP out today. Toby Altizer sitting in for him. It is Dallas week. We got to bring in someone with plenty of thoughts. The one and only Barstool Nate joins us now. What's going on, Nate?
It's a sad day. It's a sad day. How are you guys?
Why you say it?
I haven't slept. I haven't eaten. The flags are at half mast. I'm worried sick about Alexander Ovechkin right now. Last night was traumatizing. I hope no kids had to see it, and I just hope Ovi is okay. Like he has more goals at this point of the season than he's had at any point in his 20-year NHL career, and to see him go down with that, you know, knee on knee, leg on leg, whatever it was, injury, and not return to the ice. It sucks, to say the least. And, you know, there might not be an update today. Turek said there might not be an update today, which just is torture, because not knowing if the greatest hockey player I'm ever going to see is okay absolutely stinks.
Do you have any kind words for Mr. McBain in Utah?
I mean, Utah shouldn't even have a hockey team. Like, Utah, like, if you walked into the street, out into the street, and said, does Utah have a hockey team? 99 out of 100 people would say no and hit you in the head for asking such a stupid question. They shouldn't even exist. And for Ovi to go down to the Utah Hockey Club is just such a joke. And I'm not even joking right now. I think the NHL needs to pause the season. And just like nobody plays until Ovi's 100% healthy. That's what they should. If this was a real league, if this was a true league with standards and morals, they would pause the entire season until Ovi's back.
We know you're a little upset, Nate, but come on, dog. That's a stretch right there.
No, not at all.
Oh, he'll be back. Don't worry about all that. He's going to be fine.
You can't let someone on the Utah Hockey Club derail the greatest goal scorer of all time. And I think the league needs to step up and do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd that anyone would go after
Ovi. Did they call the penalty last night?
No.
No.
I mean, Tom Wilson took care of it later on in the game, but
but that's how it happens.
I just don't understand. I mean,
I think if he could have played, like I told him earlier, Nate, if it was a playoff game, he would have played last night. Since it's not, I'm gonna take my time.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? Like, there's very little information. He got the knee on knee, leg on leg injury. He tried to skate on it. He took about 3 second skate and said nah, and he limped down to the dressing room. Maybe it's just a little sore. Maybe he'll just be out maybe a week, maybe a couple games. We don't know. It's the not knowing that kills you. So I'm doing
positive
my part.
Thinking, man. Try it for a little bit. Positive thinking.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to be. I will never forgive the Utah Hockey Club for as long as they exist.
Talking with Barstool Nate, we were just talking about Dallas week, obviously, here. What's your favorite memory of Washington and Dallas?
This is such a random one, but it was when Colt McCoy, we must have been 3-7. We were a terrible team. I wish I looked this up. We were terrible. And then Colt McCoy played in primetime in Dallas and just had the game of his life. And it was just so much fun. It was probably 2016, 15, something like that. And we won that game in Dallas, and it made the whole season worth it just to see Colt go in there and just run up the score on the Cowboys when the then Redskins were absolutely god-awful. Obviously, the Santana-Moss game, very fun. And I think this coming up Sunday, we're 10.5-point favorites at home with an extended week for Jaden to get healthy with something to prove. You know, he had one bad game against the Eagles, and people try to start turning on him, and you know he sees that, and he's not going to be happy about it, and he's had a lot of time to prepare and get healthy and get on the same page as the rest of the offense. So I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I think he's going to prove a lot of people who try to say, oh, you know, the NFL has figured him out. The defenses have figured him out. I think Jaden say, not so fast, my friend. You have not figured me out yet.
Yeah, I think, you know, this – but like Brian Robinson was talking to the Junks this morning, and I think the mindset that they have over there is like – they can't worry about what Dallas does, what other people say. They just got to make sure they handle the things they can handle. And he said the game against the Eagles, basically what they did, they did not execute. They didn't do the things they were supposed to do. So if they go out there and handle their business, they're going to be fine. And I think that's the ultimate goal, not worry about all the other crap, what people say, what people do.
And we're 7-4, and if we pulled the tapes from the offseason when we were given predictions, you know, just filling all that summer air, talking about wins and losses before minicamp. I think if we said, hey, this might be a 7-win team, we'd go, all right, that's solid improvement. You know, Jaden probably winning 7 games is probably good. We're 7-4 with, you know, a quarter of the season left to go.
Yeah.
So we're in a good spot. I think as fans, we need to remember to zoom out a little bit, look at the bigger picture, look at where the team was last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and where we are now and where we will be next year with all the, you know, salary cap room and another draft class and another year of developing the guys on the team. We're in a great spot, and I'm excited for Jaden's first, you know, Dallas Week Cowboys game at home. I think the fans are going to show up and show out for it. And, you know, that FedEx, as much of a dump as it is, it can be a good home field environment.
It's no longer a dump. It's Northwest now. If you ever leave out of New York and bring your little ass down here, you'll notice that they've done a lot of improvements out there.
No, I know, but it's still in Landover, Maryland. It's still a dump. It still rains sewage water on people. It's the whole lipstick.
They haven't done that since last year.
I can't believe you're carrying water for the worst football field ever created.
Man, I'm just trying to help out the new people that are out there putting their money into it. I'm not worried about what was happening before.
Look,
Nate, listen. We know you got your own mindset. Let me ask you a question here. I know that you are a person with a lot of passion. So the question I have for you is, what message would you give to the other fans for this game? Because a lot of people may not remember this rivalry like it used to be. Hell, you're about 22 years old, too. You wouldn't remember it either. But I'm saying, what message would you give to the fans and let them know how to be prepared for this weekend?
Beavis, I think you meant 22 years old as an insult, but I'm 36, so that felt really, really good.
You're a kid, dog. I mean, still, come on. My son is 36. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, 36 is we're old, dude. You know,
if you're old at 36, you're going to be just garbage when you get to my age.
I'm going to be in the grave when I'm your age. Yeah, the Cowboys are terrible. We're 10.5-point favorites. The Cowboys I wrote a blog last night on BarstoolSports.com about how they are the most cooked, embarrassing, pathetic team in the NFL because the way Cowboys fans carry themselves, the way Jerry Jones carries himself, and the way they just let Mike McCarthy coach this team, the way they trade fourth-round picks for garbage wide receivers. Everything the Cowboys do is hilarious, and they're awful. And, you know, Dak's out for the season. Wide receivers are giving up on plays. Trayvon Diggs, still a joke. I'm obsessed with how bad the Cowboys are, and I want to absolutely embarrass them on Sunday. And as for the fans, I mean, I think fans know, like, Cowboys Washington was a huge thing for a long time, and Dan Snyder obviously ruined that. And if we're good and we have the upper hand, it's going to be so much fun because Cowboys fans, they like to try to invade the stadium, and, you know, they all live in Northern Virginia, and they're a joke. And now they get exposed as a joke, and it was a bloodbath last night, and I expect a bloodbath on Sunday.
Talking with the Barstool Nate here on B. Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for JP today. You had Dan Quinn come out yesterday to begin his press conference basically stating that Jaden's fine. He's fully healthy. Do you buy that? Are you believing that?
It's a funny question because I have to believe Dan Quinn when he says he's healthy, but also Dan Quinn has to say he's healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm with everybody where it's like we don't really know what's going on. I believe he is the best quarterback for the job on the team right now, whether that means he's 100% healthy or 80% healthy. You know, that's still healthy in some people's eyes. So, yeah, I believe it. I think we saw last week that he was not 100%. If you go and watch tape from week 3 and on Thursday against the Eagles, it did not look the same. Jaden did not look sharp. It did not look 100%. I do believe that they have been doing a lot of treatment on him, and he has been healing during the week, and that he will be ready to go, especially with all the extra rest. So I think DQ is telling us the truth, and I do think Jaden is healthy, and I expect him to be, you know, it's crazy to say this because he is still a rookie, but to say, like, I expect him to be at his best, like, his best is so good, as we've already seen, that even if he has an off day, like, we have to remember, like, growing pains for rookies do exist, and it's okay if he has a bad day.
You know, I listen, I I look at the game last week just like everybody else, and I think the problem is this. In this town, we overanalyze the quarterback position.
Yep.
I also have stated for years, most dependent position in sports is a quarterback. And when you have linemen that are injured and they're not blocking like they were and people are in your lap, it will affect you without being injured.
Yep.
And I think that's the ultimate thing. People, but there are a ton of people who want to dump on Jaden to where everything is on him, not the fact that his center had three injuries and wasn't playing well, but who's played terrific all year. His right tackle was not anywhere close to what he has been. Even his right guard wasn't playing well in Sam Cosmi.
Well, and even going back to the
Allegretti
Pittsburgh
was injured. And then Coleman, a young guy who was setting short and inside that was allowing Sweat to come straight down the line where the quarterback didn't have nothing to go around. So when you see that, I see that. I understand the fact the quarterback will never say it. The coaches will never say it. But as a former quarterback and a guy that will hear coaches tell the lineman, you got to set and push him around, none of that was going on. So I can understand why he had an off game, you know what I'm saying? But still, he can't throw every ball into the hands of the receiver. Some of them got to make a catch.
Exactly.
The one catch when the interception, if Noah Brown goes across the face of the receiver of the DB, that's not an interception. But he went around him. You can't receiver will tell you can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think the last 2 weeks have exposed what, you know, we've been saying, especially I've been saying, I've written about it, I've talked nonstop about it, is my number one offseason wish list is another wide receiver. This wide receiver group, besides Terry, who is a perfect wide receiver, but the rest of them, they just ain't it. And they're doing their best. Deami Brown has not improved in 3 years. You know, Noah Brown was cut by the Texans. He was going to be their 4 or 5 wide receiver. We have him as our number two. Zach Ertz does not pick up a single yard after contact. And, you know, Luke McCaffrey, rookie, played 2 years at wide receiver in college. We have very little at wide receiver, and we have a rookie quarterback who needs a guy to get open besides Terry, and they can't do it. They don't catch well. They don't get open well. And I know they're doing their best, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, crap on them, but, like, it's just
well, hell, it sounds like you're doing a great job of crapping on them.
I'm not meaning to. It's just, like, it's at some, like, okay, I can write, but I'm not Shakespeare, you know? Like, I can't write a novel. I can't expect a
but you could just have a little faith in your damn team because they need faith, dog.
But faith doesn't get a guy open, you know?
But what if I come to Boston every day and just tell you how horrible you are?
People do that all the time, and I mostly agree with them. And so when you go to Deami Brown, you say you can't call Deami Brown Jerry Rice and make him Jerry Rice. He's still
nah, he's not Jerry Rice, but I think just like they won those 7 games, and we all were losing our mind, you included, you got to give them a little faith when things go bad to make sure they can get back to where they were.
And I said this, I think the last 2 games, especially the Steelers game, show how much more valuable Jaden is than we even realized with the magic he's been able to make with the current offense and the banged up offensive line and all of that. He has made, you know, chicken salad when most people, whatever that phrase is. So it's just, I think it's very impressive what Jaden's
chicken
been able
soup,
to
man.
Do.
It's called chicken soup.
And are you buying the narrative around Cliff Kingsbury? Once again, I mean, it was coming in, it was second half regression always. And now you're seeing a little bit of a step back, but there's a number of factors. Like B-Mitch mentioned injuries. You've got Jaden not feeling fully great. Guys aren't maybe, you know, in the best position. They're playing up as a number two receiver when they're probably a 3 or a 4. Are you buying the Cliff regression? Or is, like, I mean, you look back to Pittsburgh, they put up 27 points. So
they had some catches, they put up 30 plus.
Exactly. So are you buying that? Or is that something that's kind of, you have to wait and see still a few more weeks?
It's a wait and see thing for sure. I think the Steelers game, that is a win. That should have been a win. And so many, Deami Brown dropping it in the end zone, Zach Ertz stopping short of the sticks, and another bad drop from him. There were so many chances to win that game that the players, not the coaches, lost. I don't really buy into narratives. I don't think second half Cliff regression is a thing, at least that I've seen this season. I think you throw the Eagles game out the window and you see what he does on Sunday. I haven't been in love with some of the play calling, but I think he's been extremely sharp all season. and some games he's called absolutely perfect games and put this team in such good positions to win that, you know, one bad game doesn't define his entire season whatsoever. So, no, I don't really buy it at all. Also, the bye week being so late in the season should be illegal. I cannot believe they still have two more games until the bye week finally.
They just had a mini bye, Nate, and B-Rob just said, everybody has something to complain about. How about the people who had the bye week early and now they got to go the rest of the week, rest of the year?
Oh yeah, that's terrible too. I think you can really get screwed with very early and very late bye weeks. You know, you want the one right in the middle of the season, especially when you're like us and you're so banged up. So let's hope we just get an easy win on Sunday, and then the Titans come to town the Sunday after, and then they can go to, you know, Aruba, relax a little bit, and then finish off the season strong.
All right, one thing that Barstool Nate feels the Commanders have to do to beat the Dallas Cowboys?
Catch the ball, honestly. Like, just catch the football. It's so easy to do when you're an NFL wide receiver. It's crazy that I even have to say that out loud. But catching the football, what we did so well in the first half of the season was pick up first downs nonstop, keeping Tressway off the field, not punting. And if we can just get back to just Jaden, you know, Jaden's so accurate and he can hit his guys in the hands. We've seen him do it all season. The wide receivers and Zach Ertz have to make plays for him. We cannot make Jaden do everything. Somebody on the offense besides Terry has to step up, and besides B-Rob, obviously, has to step up and just make a play, get first downs, and just, you know, just get this mojo back. They were just rolling the first half of the season. Losing two in a row is not a big deal. We're still 7-4, still in a great spot. The schedule is fairly light the rest of the way. Let's just get back to the basics, catch the football, move the ball down the field, get in the end zone, get out of there with a 42-14 victory.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Absolutely. I mean, and we spent the whole time talking about the offense. The defense seems to be playing a little bit better. How encouraged are you about them?
Say that one more time, please.
The defense seems to be playing a little bit better. How encouraged are you about that side of the ball?
Yeah, we should talk more about how good the defense has, especially on paper when coming into the season. We knew the secondary was going to struggle. You know, I've talked about it nonstop. All the first-round picks from Ron Rivera, none play, right? Like, three of them are gone, four of them are gone, and then Emmanuel Forbes can't get on the field. And this defense is just doing everything and more. You know, it's very impressive. I'm very, very, very happy with what they're doing out there. It's a lot of bend, don't break, and that wins football games. So yeah, it's been impressive. Thankfully the Cowboys, you know, Dak's on the bench, and Jerry Jones thought Ezekiel Elliott was still starting running back this season somehow. So I'm very impressed with the defense, to say the least.
Nate, appreciate it, man. Hopefully Washington kicks Dallas' butt on Sunday, and hopefully Ovi's okay.
Hey, watch those curves. Don't fall off a curve and mess your ankle up again.
Man, why do you have to go there, B-Match?
Appreciate it, Barstool
All
Nate.
Right, brother.
Joining
Thank
us.
You, man.
Thank you, guys.
There you heard from Barstool Nate. He joined us on our guest hotline. Next, I want to talk about the Commanders are big favorites in this one. Biggest they've been all year, 10-point favorites. Is it a must-win game? 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
Well, you heard the breaking news earlier today about the Commanders and how the vote went in where the D.C. now is going to have control over the land. It's going to have one more vote, and they're going to be moving. So if you're thinking about moving, how about you reach out to my friend John Leahy? Just like John and Catherine did, they were retiring and preparing to move to upstate New York. The one thing complicating matters was the fact that they were afraid they wouldn't be able to sell their Silver Spring home while attempting to buy their next one. Leave it to John Leahy and the Fine Living Group to save the day. Not only did they get the house sold in just 13 days, they were also able to sell it for $730,000, which was $5,000 over the asking price. Looking for your own stress-free transaction? How about a guaranteed offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. That's John without an H. The John Leahy Group and Fine Living Group of eXp Realty does a great job. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens, so if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time. And that's why I would trust my buddy, John Leahy, to sell my home. Call John today at 301-900-3052 or online at johnsellsdmv.com. Or even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today. Appreciate Barstool Nate for joining us. The Commanders themselves, I think it's up to 10.5 points. I'll have to check.
You know what? Don't worry about that.
Regardless, they're double-digit point favorites. Is it a must-win?
Yeah, it's semi a must-win because they need to get some good taste back in their mouth and get the whole, I guess, movement we had going on to get that back in order. Yes, I think it's like that. But, like, the 10.5 can make me no difference. Win by one.
Well,
win by 21, I don't care. Just win the damn game.
Yeah.
But in essence of the way we discuss must wins, I think to get everything back in the good graces, yes.
Well, so just to give you some context here, you find yourself right now in the playoff picture in the NFC. You are the 7th seed.
Yeah.
And you're at 7-4. There's three teams right behind you, all in the same division. At 5-5. You're looking at the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Rams all at 5-5. You look at the rest of Washington's schedule, you've got Dallas twice, you've got Tennessee, you've got the Saints, and then the only two games against teams with winning records is the Eagles for a second time, and then the Falcons.
Okay.
So if you look at it, this team, this is what I thought was interesting.
In essence, they favored in four games.
Listening to the junks coming in this morning, they're talking about, you know, theoretically, with a new regime, with a new quarterback, so many new people, they should handle their business. And I think some people are still a little hesitant, but we've seen this team handle their business this year. I mean,
yeah.
Go back to Carolina, go back to Arizona, go back to Cleveland. They've handled their business. Four of these games are going to be games where you feel like you handle your business. If you win those four games, you're at 11 wins, you're fine.
Yeah.
But I feel like this has to be considered a must-win sort of game because you're better than Dallas, and if you start losing some of these games, you get to that 9-10 win mark. I mean, the reality is we'll be thrilled with a 9 or 10 win season if we take a step back, but where you're at right now, you want to make the playoffs.
I asked you this question. I asked everybody else. What was your prediction for the wins this year?
About 7 or 8.
Mine was 10. So I'm expecting 3 more wins. And if they get 10-7, and what if they don't make the playoff at 10-7? So it seems like if they make 10-7, they'll make it. But what if they don't? Am I disappointed? No. See, I am not one where I went into this season thinking about rebuild. And yes, some things happened a little quicker than we thought. But I'm still not at the point where I forget about the rebuild because what they are trying to do is not just be good this year. They want this thing to be built to where they can be good for the next however many years coming up. So now, and what Adam Peters trying to do is make that thing to where every 3 to 4 years, we got some new people coming in that are going, when those guys that came in 3 years ago are hitting their prime, we got some more guys. So when they start to go out their prime, we got somebody else coming in for them.
Well,
that's what I'm looking for. But, like, I think as soon as we started winning some games, everybody immediately went to finished product. It's far from a finished product just yet because, as we heard Nate talking, got Terry. You don't really have any legitimate or somebody that's proven themselves a receiver at this point. Do you see Zach in the next 4 years? No. Okay, we talked about the offensive line. We talked to some people on defense. So it's not a finished product, but we view it as a finished product, and that's our mindsets that have made us get to another area of thinking than what it really is. They're just a slightly ahead, but they still are totally unfinished.
Well, and
but if you win, you win.
You go back to the Pittsburgh game, to me, hurts a lot more than the Eagles game. The Eagles game, they just got beat. They weren't the better team, and they went out there and got beat. They had so many opportunities against Pittsburgh, and they blew those opportunities. But I think the big part is this is a growing experience for all of these guys. You're trying to, you know, you've got a lot of young guys on this team, obviously Jaden, Sanra still, these guys stepping in and playing big roles.
Ballers.
But you've also got some veterans and guys that have been holdovers on this team. Think of a guy like a Sam Cosmi. Think of a guy like a Terry McLaurin. They're awesome football players. They haven't played winning football yet with this organization.
Yeah.
They're learning as much as the other guys how to win and become those winners. Like, you think back to that Pittsburgh game. If it's the Kansas City Chiefs there, they find a way to win that football game because Kansas City has found a way to create a championship winning DNA.
But they've been around for a long time.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like you're building up. To your point of saying, like, this is a rebuild, they're getting there. And so I'm not going to be disappointed if, you know, you have some of those growing pains where you lose a game like you did against Pittsburgh. But at the same point, you look at the schedule so far, B. Mitch, and there's not a single game where you look and go, man, they really shouldn't have lost that game. In terms of the Steelers are a better football team on paper.
But the Steelers game, they had that.
Absolutely. But on paper, like, you're like, that's not a huge disappointment. Yeah. Like, they didn't lose to Carolina. And you've seen other teams, like a Baltimore, they've lost to a Cleveland Browns. They've lost to some teams. So I think what they've done is they've handled their business. They've done a good job. Yeah. It's just now it's about closing this season, and these reps, regardless of whether they make the playoffs or not, this is going to be valuable for them for next year and going forward.
I think JP mentioned it yesterday where they said the last time they were sitting at 7-2 was 1996. I was on that football team. And we went the rest of the way 2-5. Okay. Now, you don't want that to happen, because I think that this team is good enough, and they have enough on this team to be able to completely, you know, change what that was. But I'm not one that just because you start seeing some success, I forget what's happening. You know, I've heard a lot of people were dogging the team before the season start. All of a sudden they start winning. Now they got to do this. How does it switch like that? If you had no faith in them before, how the hell you got faith in them now? So ultimately, this team has to find a way to get back to find the identity that they had presented. Because what happens in games a lot of times, you start playing, you start learning more about yourself. And that's why if you ever hear when Jay and I talk a lot, and he starts talking about how tough it is to get up for a Thursday game, my first comment was, well, the Eagles played later in the evening in Dallas, and they got less rest. And I hear about people are hurt. Well, the other team got hurt. People on their team hurt too. You have to get to the mindset where the excuses go away and you view it for what it truly is. This team, you have a coach who knows how to motivate. They have a coach who can influence. And they have a coach who people believe in. Once you get that, then everybody else coming along, the players that they brought in, the Louvus, the Wagners, guys who've done it, who also understands what the man wants, allow the younger guys to get up to speed a lot quicker than they would normally if you didn't have those guys around. But still, we went through by 9 games, but they hadn't played that rookie game yet. They haven't played that team that got 35 new players on it yet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they kind of played that game late in the game against the Eagles.
Well, and the nice part is you've got a lighter schedule on the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got tested against Pittsburgh. You got tested against Philly. You've got a couple of games to kind of get yourselves in order and a bye week in there to get ready for Philly again.
Mm-hmm.
And the Falcons are kind of coming down a little bit as well. So you've got a favorable schedule the rest of the way that, you know, you were 7-2. You went to 7-4 in a matter of 5 days.
Yeah.
That's disappointing, obviously, as a football team. But I think having that little bit of a reset, those 10 days to get ready for Dallas, Dallas is going to come in here. Like we were talking about, some of these guys look like they already want to quit.
Yeah.
You've got no starting quarterback. It feels like this is a real opportunity for this team where we're having discussions and we're talking, and that's our jobs. The Junks, G&D, 980, we're all talking about these different things. This is a chance for the team to come out on Sunday and just shut us all up again.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the ultimate thing. But I think just your whole mindset can't change every other week.
Yeah.
You know, because if you understand the process, your mindset doesn't change every other week. But if you just look at the result, then your mindset will change all the time.
One thing I like that Dan Quinn said, I go back to it because he talked about it before the Baltimore game, and mm-hmm. it kind of resonated with me every single week since. He talked about, you know, he was asked, is it a measuring stick game when they went to play Baltimore? He said, well, you can talk about that. We're worried about ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you have that sort of mentality going into every single week, it feels like that's how you avoid a letdown. You know, you face a Pittsburgh and a tough loss. Well, you worry about yourselves. You need to fix what you need to fix.
Yeah.
B-Rob talking to the Junks this morning. You know, you can give them credit. That's fine, but we didn't execute. We didn't do what we need to do. That's how you avoid that letdown against the Dallas and coming down the stretch here when you're the better team of, you know, 4 of your 6 opponents. That's how you avoid letting yourself down and you take advantage of these opportunities.
If you do your, if you have a list, checklist of what you need to do and you hit those every week, you'll probably win more games. But what if you hit them and you lose? It's not a letdown. You know, you might have ran into somebody that's just naturally better than you. But we, outside of the team and outside of the locker room, we're the ones that talk about letdowns. Players never talk about letdowns. Because if a letdown would be that, oh, man, we were way better than this team. We came out here. We didn't even care about it. We just lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So players rarely think about it. It's us, media and fans, who say letdown.
Do you view this game on Sunday as a must-win? Washington coming in as double-digit point favorites the most this season. Is it a must-win? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines? You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. And right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan. Toby Altizer in for J.P. Finley today. Coming up at noon, we'll talk to Brian Colbert Jr. Does the pre- and post-game stuff with B. Mitch for the Commanders. So we'll talk to him, get his thoughts on Dallas week. Right now we're talking about Dallas. This week it's a double-digit point favorite for Washington. Is it a must-win? I'm not a huge one of the media talking point of a must-win, but you need to win this game. Like, I'm not going to label it
a must-win. Yeah,
like,
there we go.
You got to go take care of your business. Like, yeah. If they lose this game, it's going to be a huge disappointment. It doesn't end your playoff hopes. Everything's still in front of you, so it's not like it's a must-win. But as the team, you need to have the mentality that you're going to go out there and dominate them. Because like I said, I mean, the discussions are coming up. You got the Cliff Kingsbury discussion. You got his Jaden hurt. You got all these discussions. If you come out to Northwest Stadium on Sunday and just whoop them, you can shut everybody up. And that's your big opportunity. Once again, just take care of your business.
Okay, well, I'm going to answer the question for everybody. Is Jaden hurt? Yeah, him and probably everybody else that's playing in the NFL. But are they hurt compared to what a football player body is? No. Well, they're hurt compared to what we see and what we look at outside of the game. Nobody's 100% in the league. Nobody.
So when I look at the injury, everybody's so scared from 2012, and understandably so. Everybody's scared of RG3 with the knee injury, and is he really hurt? To me, when you go back and watch Philadelphia, and you go back and watch Pittsburgh, they look like two totally different quarterbacks. Yep. And the reason that he struggled against Philadelphia, to me, wasn't the ribs. When he's inaccurate, to me, that's the ribs.
Mm-hmm.
When he's missing. When he's just not confident, when he's not, he's either, you know, maybe not seeing it
feeling
well.
Pressure.
He's feeling pressure. That has nothing to do with the ribs. Maybe a decision here or there where he maybe keeps it earlier in the season. Maybe one or two a game that happens. If he misses a throw by a yard or two, to me, that's the ribs. But what you saw in Philadelphia was a guy that just, he wasn't playing well, frankly. Yeah. And that, to me, is not all on the ribs.
Look, I heard early this year, every time he ran the ball, people were like, he shouldn't be running. Know what I heard the last 2 weeks? He should be running. Know what I would tell him if I had to talk to him about something? Do you.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the man, I don't care what position you play, is going to have to learn how to play with the body you have. Whether it's a big one, a small one, a medium size. You got to learn to go out there. Because listen, everyone act like the guy who's more sleek gets hurt all the time. Everybody gets hurt. Big dudes get hurt. Guys that look like the perfect Adonis, they get hurt. But you got to learn how to play with you because then you can protect yourself better. But if, like, I remember being in college and all I heard was get down. Don't take hits. All this crap. Hurling high school. Try to go out of bounds one time, dude, don't sprain my ankle. At that point, I made my mind up to hell with what everybody else says. I know how I can play. And I began to get my body ready for the way I can play. And from that point, I missed one game all the way through college, all the way through the pros, because I played the game the way Brian Mitchell knew how to play. And I think ultimately you get to that. What I watched Jaden Daniels do, he protects himself. But somebody going to catch him every once in a while. This is the NFL. You got the best athletes in the world that play this sport. So you can't go out there. When he got hurt, you saw him stiff arm and then you saw him go down. to pry and protect himself.
Mm-hmm.
Guy fell on top of him. What if he had done what he would normally do, stiff and take off running faster? He might have got away from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to get to the point. Every player has to get to the point to where the outside noise is exactly that. Out of my head and somewhere else, I'm going to play this game how I know how to play it, and I'm going to protect myself when I need to, which we see him do. Everyone, oh, he can't slide. He shows he knows how to slide. He just rather dive sometimes.
Are you worried that maybe what Pittsburgh showed, Philly copied a little bit of it, that teams are going to copy it and it's going to maybe slow down the offense? Or is it something where Pittsburgh's a good defense, well, Philly's a good defense, they've got the players, Dallas coming in next week is not going to matter?
What Pittsburgh did is totally opposite of what Philly did. Philly didn't have the speed to spy on him. You know, they were getting pressure with four. That is why I tell you that the O-line was not where they need to be. Because nobody was getting pressure with four until the last 2 weeks. So, when the O-line is back, then you come with four. You see what happened. But Queen was the guy who was able to spy to stop him getting to the edges against the Eagles. They have nobody on their roster that linebacker can run that fast. Bond, all those guys, they are not that damn fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, ultimately, people are going to try what somebody else does, but that is when Cliff. And what I hear, if a lot of time you listen to Dan Quinn, he talks about how he and Cliff talk a lot. So Cliff is not just talking to offensive people about figuring it out. He's also talking to that defensive-minded guy who was excellent as a D coordinator to try and figure out what people are going to try to do to stop us and what should we do in turn. Because, you know, Dan Quinn was on the roster with Russell Wilson when he was a guy that would run around a lot. So he understands how other teams try and stop that and combat, and then you have to figure out something offensively to combat it. So they probably got some stuff in the works.
Well, and looking ahead to Dallas, I mean, obviously Parsons is the problem coming off the edge, and they've got some pass rushers. They've got a guy, I think, that can run that same sort of role as Queen. Overshown can fly as a linebacker.
Yeah.
So maybe they can spy, but they also don't have Quinyon Mitchell played a heck of a game against Terry in Philadelphia. I don't think Trayvon Diggs can do that sort of thing.
But Quinyon wasn't by himself. See, everyone would act like Quinyon checked in one-on-one. No. He had a lot of cloud coverages helping him out, too.
Sure. But I don't think that Trayvon Diggs is going to be able to do what Quinyon was doing. I think they're going to find better ways. Like, Pittsburgh kind of showed you they were going to play man, and they were going to – I think they did a heck of a job containing. I don't know if Dallas is going to have as much discipline, and they've got one dude. If DeMarcus Lawrence comes back, they got two.
Yeah.
But, like, up the middle, you were getting push. I mean, Pittsburgh's got a heck of a line. When you've got T.J. Watt, you've got Highsmith, but then you've got Hayward in the middle. You look against – Philly, Jalen Carter was an animal in that game. So I don't know that Dallas has the dudes to do the sort of stuff that they were doing. So I'm curious. I mean, it's another opportunity. Like we said, you just go out there and you go dominate, take care of your business, run the football at them. You got 10 extra days. So hopefully it's something where you get healthy and dominate this football game.
Overshown. Doesn't he look like a linebacker.
No, you run the ball at him.
He looks, bam. And where are they right now against the run?
Not very good.
Because that dude is excellent when you allow him. Like, last night he came, nobody blocked him.
Mm-hmm.
The one sack hit, nobody blocked him. But if you, the same guys just shoulder to shoulder come off the ball, he is going for a ride like he's a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
You know? So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think it's just going to come down to them pounding the rock and doing their best there. Let's take a break. When we come back, Brian Colbert Jr. from the Commanders is going to join us here on B. Mitch and Finley.